What up, folks? Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 124. Yeah, we gave y'all a hot 9-piece, and then we let y'all chill for a bit. We let you collect yourselves. Get up off the mat. But we back. I am your host, Day, and as always, I got my people with me. Sky, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much, but hey, I mean, it's so now that it's we're recording now on December 9th, do you think this is the final episode of 2020?
It might be.
Okay, no, I mean, that's the answer I expected. I'm just okay.
Like, I don't want a lot of y'all. Yeah, unless something really fucking spectacular happens and motivates the shit out of us, otherwise, this might be it. I don't know. We'll see. You know, that last week, you know, around your birthday and after Christmas, I'll be in Rhode Island.
Yeah, it'll be a busy end of the year. So,
yeah. So just, you know, realistically, this might be it. But Tone, the Caribbean's greatest hero. How you feeling, man?
First of all, it's the fucking 10th. Fuck you.
Oof.
And that's how I'm feeling.
He's an hour ahead. So shout out to him. Not drinking, intermittent fasting, so he low on energy. Look, just come get fat with me. I'm fucking all energy.
Already there. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm trying to. I don't even know what you're talking about. COVID-19 plus 20, nigga. Like, nah.
So good. We are Get Out the Room. We are pop culture horror. Depending on which day, horror or pop culture first. Whatever we feel like talking about podcast. You can find us anywhere good podcasts are found. Really, anywhere. Just search it. You'll find it. Go on your little app. We in there. But recently, we're going to start with some horror. It's outside of October. It's not even black horror. I know. It's different. We recently were part of a push to screen a film that is now playing on Shudder, and it's called Anything for Jackson. It was written by Keith Cooper and directed by Justin Dyke, I believe, or Dick, not sure. Don't want to fuck it up. Y'all look it up. This film, yeah, it's garnered a little bit of buzz, most of it positive. The story is pretty straightforward. It's not one that you would say is misleading in any way, because I do not believe that it is. The setup is a bereaved Satanist couple kidnapped a pregnant woman so they can use an ancient spell book to put their dead grandson's spirit into her unborn child. But they end up getting a little bit more than they bargained for. That's kind of it, right? Yeah.
Well, I'll start. The movie left hooks you almost immediately. Getting jarred like that really makes you pay attention. I don't know. I mean, what are we doing? Are we spoiling it? Are we not spoiling it?
We can't spoil it. It's new. It's indie. Not you spoiling know, it. We need folks to go check this out.
So, well, that jarring aspect kind of takes you into the main plot of the movie. And from there, it gets a little wild. it gets a little wild. Right before we were on here, there was you made a comment, Damon, 13 ghosts. There's a 13 yep. ghost aspect to this.
Yep.
And I like that analogy. And speaking of the 13 ghosts, I mean, one of the 13 ghosts is, you know, the movie's fine. I mean, the highlight of the movie are the ghosts, and yep. that's what I would say is a highlight here as well. The ghosts are very, very creepy, extremely
unsettling.
It's unsettling. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And a couple, one off the top of my head, and again, I don't know how deep we want to go, but I'll say one off the top of my head I've never seen before in a film and is the memorable one of the movie.
Yep.
I mean, when you say the name, Anything for Jackson, that's the image I see. because it was scary. I mean, I was just like, oh my God, I can't even believe this is on camera here. And there are other ghosts that are really good too. And it plays a little bit with the, will they or won't they type vibe that this type of movie can do. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. The 13 ghosts though, it's like 13 ghosts but on acid. It's yeah. Kind of what I said.
Yeah.
I too was taken aback by some of the scares and the imagery. We do this shit for a living, hobby, whatever the fuck you want to call it, and this shit, this show caught me caught me with my mouth open a couple times. There's a couple scares that really, really got to me. A couple moments when I was like, let me see if I can turn that porch light on real quick while watching this shit. Like, so yeah, they caught me. And one of my pet peeves is when people make decisions in movies that don't make no goddamn sense, or a character acts outside of all logic and reason. And I can't say I ever once saw this. And in fact, I would say that I saw quite the opposite. I saw almost every character making like logical, well-reasoned, at least from their locus of perspective.
Yeah, for their established motivations.
Right, right. Yeah. Very logical, reasonable decisions. So no sloppy writing here.
No, I think the writing was pretty good. There are a couple moments that, kind of move all over the place a little bit. But for the most part, man, I enjoy what this gave me. There are some real dark fucking moments in this film too, man.
This is a bleak flick. I can't think of anything that made me feel as hopeless as this, other than maybe like, Rob Zombie flick. This is bleak.
Yep.
It is, and because of that, it jars a little bit tonally. There was a little bit of black comedy that between the main characters that jarred a lot with that tone. And I've talked about it quite a bit on the show. It and it's not as drastic as what I'm about to describe, but it reminded me of it. When you a movie like that unfortunately comes to mind is Tusk, and Tusk I think was. Tusk had I was on board with the horror completely, and then they decide to introduce the Johnny Depp character in that movie, and to me that ruins the film. Suddenly make it a comedy, and quite frankly, it's not a fucking comedy.
It stopped the film in its tracks. It doesn't do that here.
No. But like I said, it gave me that vibe, so I didn't like that. But I did actually like, I thought the main characters, the girl, the woman, I remember when I was watching, I actually wrote you, Damon, and I said, that's the woman. And I had just seen this movie. That's why it was on my mind. She's the reporter from Die Hard 2.
Yeah. Sheila McCarthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, she does a great job carrying a lot of the heavy acting lifting.
Yes. She and her husband in the movie, they're both great. They play off each other really well, and I thought the acting was really good there. And that goes for the whole cast. But like I said, some of the tone was jarring to a point where I wasn't completely on board with that. I mean, they tried again with some of the comedy with when the other occultist came into their house.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much more away there, but
yeah. Let's not give too much away. I'm not sure how much more we can honestly say about it. We've got the the scares and whatnot. I think we might be at rating time.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we are at rating. So Tom, go ahead and start us off.
Solid scares, solid fucking scares. But some tonal issues, no doubt. I would definitely give it a 6.5.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. 6.5 is a good score.
Yep.
You want something that's gonna again give you that the 13 vibe or 13 ghosts. On acid, like I said, it's and the reason I bring that up is just it's jarring. You know, the 13 ghost stuff, some of it was jarring, but most of it was just, you know, Hollywood creating ghost force that look cool. This one is I mean,
Yeah,
they look
this is
cool,
something
but they're
different.
also gonna make they are gonna make you look around in the dark if that's how you're watching it. And
Oh yeah. Oh
that's
yeah.
what a movie's supposed to do. That's what a horror movie's supposed to do.
There's
Yeah,
a
it's
line that's been running through my head for since I watched the show, the Black Lady Cop.
Yep. Oh yeah.
That line has been running through my head nonstop.
Yeah. This is definitely one of the ones where they managed to get the creepy and the scary right. Very right. But then there's a couple moments that, you know, I think a couple more films will round them out. But for the most part, I liked the film. I had a good time. So, I'll say it's probably about 6.5 as well, but it's good. Scott?
I mean, I agree. 6.5 is what I would go with it too.
Okay.
I you know, again, I you know, I want to spoil it, but not for the benefit or to take anything away, just to talk about it a little more. But if we're not going to do that, then you know, I mean, you know, 6.5 is good. It's worth a look.
And definitely, if we're talking about the fare that we have on Shudder, it's in good company. Great addition on Shudder's part. Definitely watch this. Again, we've covered this. You ain't got nothing to do, and you're not going nowhere. So, pop some popcorn, throw this shit on. I don't know if you want to watch this shit in the dark though. I feel like you want to watch this during the day.
Yeah, there's just like moments where you're like, you know what? Let me see what the fuck is going on around me for
Yeah. I feel like this is a daytime movie, straight up.
But shout out to the folks who made anything for Jackson. We genuinely appreciated the early look. You know, if there's anything else that y'all are making, let your boys know. We out here for it. So yeah, anything for Jackson on Shutter now, go check it out. Yeah, good film. Next up, Scott. This is right in your area right here, bro. We are in season two of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, how about that, man? I gotta say, you know, we've thrown love at Star Wars. We've talked shit about Star Wars. I'm sure a lot of fans can say that too, but this has been really fucking enjoyable. Season one was great. This one is better. And we're not even done yet. I mean, we're 6 episodes into we have two more. I think it's going exactly where I think it's going. In that, I made this comment to Damon. I think it's going to end game. I think they're end gaming this season. I think that's a good thing. Normally, I'd say that's just a quote cash grab. You know, it's just like the easy way out. But here, I think that's what Star Wars fans want. If there's one thing we learn from the sequels, it's that Star Wars fans like to see familiarity. And that's what this show's doing, but it's doing it in a new way. You know, The Mandalorian wouldn't exist without Boba Fett, and the child wouldn't exist without Yoda. So essentially it's Boba Fett and a baby Yoda, and that's what we're watching. But it's brand new characters. They have different personalities. We're looking at them at a different time in the Star Wars Skywalker lore. So it works. And I really enjoyed it. It's very well made. It's made by, I mean, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, kind of the heads of this thing, and they are Star Wars fans first and foremost. And you don't get a lot of fans who make stuff like this.
Yeah, they need to basically just be given the keys.
To the trilogies, to the movies, I mean, seriously, I mean, Disney should just say, whatever you guys want to do, do it. You know,
We
you
talked
guys.
about this amongst ourselves, like they need to give them more because this is so well done.
Yeah, this is dope. Without giving away some of the major plot points, because I think that's part of the fun. particularly with this, Scott did a really great job of kind of letting you know that all the comforts, it's like a really well-stocked Airbnb that took all of your personal likes. You know what I mean? It's like walking into a fucking Airbnb and they're like, hey, we got shrimp. We got crab. We got breakfast sausage. We have lactate milk. You know what I mean? Like, we have smoked turkey, lettuce, tomato, crisp, and croissants for, and, you know, all kinds of fucking beautiful cheeses. And in the cabinet, there's a bunch of Tito's. That's how this feels. All the shit that you're used to, but just a little different. And it's given everything space to grow, which is one of the biggest wins that I've seen from this. Like, yes. One of the things, I think the missteps that we've seen, even in the prequels and then the last three, is that they've taken these ideas and they've narrowed them down, right? Which is the thing that I recognize about Rogue One. They took a really small idea and they blew it up. The idea of how did they get the plans? They created a whole fucking film around that, right?
Right.
What they've done here is they've given you two iconic characters and they've opened up the entire universe. And they use all of these, they're little corners of the universe that you're not used to exploring, kind of like fitting in, physically being around, that you're getting the opportunity to see. And then they take us to a couple places we do know, but we see them from a different way. In Cantina, like all kinds of shit. Like, we're seeing some really good stuff that's familiar, but it's grown. So,
it's benefiting from being or also taking place after Jedi. So,
sure.
I mean, they're benefiting from still taking place directly after the classic trilogy, and that familiarity is what really makes this thing shine. And in the first season we get, in the very first episode, it was the Mandalorian teaming up with the IG unit, which we only saw very briefly in one of the original movies. And they're out there doing full-on action to rescue their asset. And at the end of season one, they endgame that. I mean, Mandalorian went and recruited, his buddies that he met throughout the season, and they were the final team at the end of that season. And I think that's where we're headed here. And, we don't want to spoil anything. I mean, look, spoilers are all over social media. The minute the episode hits on midnight, there's people making videos on YouTube about it. And it's crazy. I mean, it's injected excitement into a franchise that needed it, given the Rise of Skywalker. And it's doing it really well. I mean, it's led to talk of spinoffs of some of the characters they're introducing now or reintroducing now.
I think that would be great. There's some characters come back from other franchises that we haven't seen in a long time, and I didn't expect to have the kind of reaction to seeing that character in live action that I did. It was really dope. Like, it was well done.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of just what I was. It's just what I was looking for. Like, I'm all for seeing more of that.
But yes.
To see Bruce Lee's goddaughter.
Oh yes.
Show up. And
so what's funny is I actually knew that from the end of the movie, like when her name, or at the end of the episode when her name popped up, because her middle name is also her dad's name, Dan Inosanto. Right.
Yep, Inosanto.
I saw that, and I immediately knew who it was. And I'm watching it with Eric, and she goes, "Who the hell is that?" I'm going like, I was just like, man, if I describe this now, I'm gonna come off a super big nerd. So I'm just gonna. I was like,
"Hey, went to test, Scott. So what?"
I was just like, "She knew Bruce Lee," and she was, "Oh, okay, yeah." And the reason why that's significant here, I'm currently sitting at my desk and I'm looking up at a framed original Enter the Dragon movie poster that Erica actually got me. It's like I love the thing. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies. So I, you know, I see that name and I'm like, wow, man, they even went there with this. And I mean, if they're digging deep for not just the characters, but for the actors to play these new characters,
yeah,
that I really, really, really appreciate that.
Look, the turn that they gave Carl Weathers is fucking amazing. Like,
yeah,
he was good last season. He's better this season.
He's only been in one episode.
Two.
No, he's only been in one.
Was he?
He was in, let's see, he was in the episode where Gina Carano was in. That's it. And she was in the just his
right, place. Right. She showed up in the one after, but he wasn't there. Okay. All right.
Right.
Right. Because the first one, yeah, gotcha. Okay.
But he, in that, he's more friendly. He's the, you know, he's kind of their, I don't want to say father figure, but, you know, he's the veteran.
An older, yeah, he's definitely an older male presence. He definitely has a grandfatherly vibe to the baby Yoda, you know, so mm-hmm. I see that.
You know, I think there's this other thing, though, that if you know who Carl Weathers is, you're taking a lot of that nostalgia and a lot of that lore and putting it into this particular character, whether it's been there or not. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. Right? It's
like
it's
Action Jackson. Action Jackson is his past, whether that's Action Jackson or not.
Yes. It's hard to see him and not see Predator and not yep. see, you know,
Apollo Creed.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Yeah. Hard to see him and not see those things.
Yep.
But this is another like notch on his belt, though. I mean, he can say, you know, I was what's the character's name? Grief. I was Grief in Mandalorian. It's like, oh yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah. All
yeah. Right. No, he's had a career. He's
an oh artist. Yeah. Yeah, he has.
Yeah, man. Like I'm very happy with what I've seen. You know, and it's tough because you have someone like Gina Carano, who as an actress is probably getting better, but as a person is backsliding like a motherfucker.
Now, see, I don't know about her personal stuff, and I probably don't want to know because I actually like her. So,
even if we don't tell you now, see, Damon, don't say anything. He'll look right. you up on it.
No, I'm looking right now. God damn it. I wish you wouldn't have said nothing.
No, look, I had that shit ruined for me. I'm ruining it for you. Do you Google?
Wow, it's like that? It's like that.
Do your Googles, right? Yeah. Do your Googles. Shit gonna start to fall into place. We start thinking about, you know, where she's from and sports she participated in and the motherfuckers who generally tend to participate in that shit. Yeah. Ish. You know, it's like, Tone, I think you were online. You said this earlier. It don't cost nothing to shut the fuck up.
It costs literally nothing. It really doesn't. Nothing. And it's somehow even cheaper to just stay off of social media. It's
right.
The easiest thing in the world.
Right.
Correct.
Are you fucking kidding?
God. There you go.
Oh,
there you 2020, go. 2020 strikes again.
There you go. Took another one off the board.
God damn.
Took another one off the board.
Well, throw her in the trash. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Look, let's get back to Star Wars, though. So, did you guys think are we not spoiling anything? We haven't even name dropped anything yet.
Yeah, no, that's on purpose. I mean,
no, we can't do that. We can't do that.
Okay. So, two episodes ago, so the last two episodes have been what I think has made the show as good as it is this season. Two episodes, not the last episode, but two episodes ago, there was the one that kind of blew Star Wars fans' brains apart.
Yeah, that showed up before you even watched it.
Correct. And then, I got to be honest with you, this last episode is better. It's shorter. I mean, I looked at the runtime and I'm going like, oh man, it's only a half hour. There's no way.
It's 26 minutes.
Yeah, well, there's no way it's going to be, there's no way it's going to be better than the last episode. There's no way that they're actually going to already get to where they said they were going to get to from the last episode. Essentially they looked at the Game of Thrones way of doing things the final couple seasons and they said, nah, we're just gonna shit all over that and just get right to it.
Yeah. No. These motherfuckers did the bells in 26 minutes.
Yeah. They really fucking did. There's multiple moments in this last episode multiple moments of, wow, we're really, I think we're going to see this. We're going to, and then you see it, and then you go, I think we're going to see it better. And then you do see it better. And you're going, and then at the very end, they just go, oh, by the way, we're endgaming this shit. It's like, oh man, this is cool. This is what people want to see. It's what I want to see. I want to see the whole gang, the whole kit and caboodle. I want to see it all.
Yeah, I'm going to do one spoiler because I don't think it will hurt. But okay. When I saw Bill Burr's face show up,
that shit took you out, didn't it? Took you out, didn't it?
That shit completely threw me off.
But yeah, I loved it. Old Billy Freckles, he's not meant for shit like this because
the episode he was in was enjoyable. It was a good Prison Break episode. So
no, it was a good episode. It was nothing. Look, I haven't seen a bad episode of this show yet. So
yeah, touche.
Let's start with that. But just something about Bill Burr. Like I can't see anything other than Bill Burr when I see him on screen. He can't be acting in nothing because he just ruins suspension of disbelief immediately. Yeah. I'm like, that's fucking Bill Burr.
Yeah, because he's definitely going to call somebody out. He's like, look, how y'all going to talk to these green motherfuckers like that? He's like, God damn it, man. You know what I mean? You got Amy Sedaris up here with a big-ass piece of...
She kills me, too. She kills me. Man. Although she's pretty good, though. But every she's time I...
I'll name drop somebody. Giancarlo Esposito is a great villain.
But here's the problem, man. And I think we've all read this part. He almost overshadows the lead. He's so good with roughly 90 seconds of screen time.
I don't even know if it's almost, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this no, last, so this, this it, last the show, episode, the whole so the show competition.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, we're laying on the praise. Look, I could be critical to a point as well. One of the things I'm a little afraid of that the show is doing is relying too heavily on what we've seen in the past. And for as much as I want to see them go where I assume they're going, I hope that they can move on the story of the main two characters without leaning on all of the Star Wars lore. And I hope they do that. And to the point,
hold on. I'm interested to hear this because Scott, you and I have talked about this pretty much ad nauseum at this point, right?
Yeah.
And I think people listeners know where we stand on this. Tone, what I want to hear where you come from on this.
I guess the way I look at it is we've seen bits and pieces, cameo shots, like, hey, we're still part of the, the same shared universe and whatnot. So we get our little fan service, basically. But the balance has been pretty good. I feel like the vast majority of this is really all about the two leads. And you have, a little bit here, a little bit there, but mostly this is just about the Mandalorian and his charge. And you get to see that relationship develop. And, they're navigating a shared universe with these other characters. And so there is some overlap. But I truly feel as if this is a standalone story. It does not feel inextricably tied to the trilogies or the nonology, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, I agree. So I'll say this. The only thing I'm legitimately worried about is, and I shouldn't say I'm worried about it because I was talking to Scott about this, I guess, 2 days ago. Every time they introduce something new, every time they do something, they never take the focus off of Mando. Like, even when they introduce, people who are more powerful, right, the focus still stays on Mando. And I love the fact that we've seen the limit to what Mando can do. We've seen, what he's able to accomplish, but he don't know everything. Like, you leave season one believing that Mando is, end all be all. we put some question marks into to his past, to his code of ethics, to everything. Yeah.
Hey, and here you go. Here's a hint to, and this last episode showed he's not even the coolest Mandalorian.
Oh no, yeah, not about. I want to say pretty much the entire season he has been the coolest man.
I would agree with that. Nice call. Yes.
Right.
He's got a lot to learn, which is promising for the show's future.
Correct.
Tonight, which
correct.
Is
nice. There's a lot, like, they've given themselves some room. There's a comment by one person that won't, fuck it. You know, anybody who's hip to this shit will know, Katie Sackhoff.
Yep.
She made a comment that just completely blows open the possibility of what can be for this show in this world, with like through the lens of Mandalorians. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. And it was definitely a different take, and it was cool to see that, you know, got to hear both sides. Like,
right.
It was dope to see
that right there.
You know, it definitely, to your point, it expands the universe a little bit, because we get to see that, okay, this isn't as cut and dry as we think it is. I'm ready for it. I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan. We all are. But I gotta say, at this point, this is the best shit I've seen in my lifetime. The best new shit
by far for Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's not even a question.
Yes, this is.
I mean, it's hands down the best since the original trilogy.
Exactly.
I don't think
anyone could argue otherwise.
And to be fair, I try and get people to watch other things they need to watch in Star Wars, I tell them that, and I actually believe this. Now, it's not as consistent so far. I mean, we've only seen not even two full seasons of this. The CG shows are very good, too. And I realize they have a stigma about them because, you know, they're cartoons. You know, it's
not even cartoons. It's the animation.
It is the anime, and I get it.
Style is
not it is. The story is very, very good. It's way better than the prequels.
Oh, you're a little low.
Well, I mean, that's a low bar. I mean, you can't say it's better. I mean,
man. Yeah, I know.
Rusty nails are better than the prequels, my dude. I mean, come on.
But so, all right. One thing, Tone, you're still a little low. But one thing I'll tell you, right? What I've recognized, the parts of the prequels, the information that you glean from the prequels resonate really, like, as a through line. And then the original three resonate as through lines of points of information to fully enjoy the show. You can watch the show. You can watch it. Have a great time with it. But if you are a person who has seen all these things and understands them, it just makes it even richer.
So. Agreed. Absolutely agree. And I mean, the Star Wars, the Clone Wars, and Star Wars Rebels do the same thing.
But it's what? 36 hours worth of shit to.
It's a lot. Yeah, correct. I'm just saying that The Mandalorian is the first live action shit that we've seen, and I like it better than those. But if you want something similar, and yes, you're gonna have to jump through a few hoops to get to it, but
you gotta get through a lot.
Yeah, but that gives you the same kind of there's some really good rewarding stuff in there as well.
They take General Grievous and they make him non-scary, right?
General Grievous was, I don't know, I've never been a big fan of his regard of any.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, he was a coughing robot that should have been way cooler and killing everybody in the prequels. And he had four lightsabers and he got beat by a young Obi-Wan. Like, come on.
Yeah, but Obi-Wan's one of the dopest motherfuckers out. That's the thing that people like.
He was a coughing robot, though.
But
he was a smoking coughing robot.
Yeah, he was old, and his droid self had started to fucking give him cancer.
He was whack.
That's crazy. Tom, do you feel the same way about General Grievous?
I do not. I don't think he was. I mean, I don't think he was setting the world on fire, but I didn't feel like. I felt like defeating him was a pretty good with a pretty good feat. And again, the whole knock about him getting beaten by, you know, young Obi-Wan. Yo, as far as I know, Obi-Wan is like, what, there's three other motherfuckers tougher than him?
Right.
Ever? And right. Two of them is his name Skywalker? I mean, right. Come on, man.
Right. And the last one, Mace Windu.
When I think of a, like the I don't lack for a better term, when I think of the cool blink and you'll miss character, not even blink and you'll miss, but small character from those movies, from the prequels, I always think of Darth Maul first. Like Obi-Wan killing Darth Maul, that's a notch. That motherfucker killed Qui-Gon. He had a double-bladed lightsaber. That motherfucker could have beat Vader on some days. Like
that's Ray Park you're looking at, really. I mean. And that's not fair.
Right.
It's just not fair. You know, we're talking about I mean that dude's probably one of the greatest fight choreography, like stunt dudes ever.
Of all time. He's on the list.
Not fair.
He's on the list.
Yeah.
Like his movements, like his foot speed, like it made everybody else in that scene look unbelievably outmatched.
Oh yeah.
There's no way they would have won that fight. Yeah. None. We know that, right? But I guess one of the things that Scott's talking
that's
about
kind is, of a, that's kind of the beginning of the Obi-Wan like badass story. That's
well, the lore of Obi-Wan starts there.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean that's understood. But Darth Maul as a character is dope.
He is.
But Darth Maul wasn't better than General Grievous. General Grievous had what? 5-6 Jedi bodies on him as not a Sith. Like, let that shit sink in. This motherfucker wasn't even Sith. He didn't have a Darth. He was just a motherfucker that learned away.
We'll agree to disagree. I'm not going to suddenly walk away from this. Dopey. No, he wasn't.
You fighting it. General Grievous is dope.
I will say this: the best Grievous I'll say was on the actual animated Clone Wars. The Jimmy Tartovarsky, I butchered his name, but his show.
Tartovsky, I believe his name is.
Grievous was cool in that. He was very cool in that show. Yep. They used him kind of as a horror character, and
he would just show up and take motherfuckers' necks. When they heard General Grievous was there, everybody was scared. He was
Axe and Jedi left and right in that show. And he was doing it like an alien would in the alien films. And that was cool. That was cool.
Yep.
But no, I mean, you know, Mandalorian, I mean, we can keep lumping praise on it. I mean, it's for a show to be as mind-blowing as it was in one of its longest episodes and reintroducing or really introducing a lot of fans who never watched the cartoon to a character that is it hands down fucking amazing, and then topping it in less than half the time is really impressive. So I don't know what to expect the last two episodes. I want to watch them right away. When Friday morning pops up, it's like, I mean, I get up early and watch it before I got to start or turn my computer on.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, look, what for a half hour, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's not that much, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. Tone, do you believe there will be an in-game scenario? Exhale exhaustion.
I don't know if I would call it in-game, maybe an A-team like scenario.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that. Yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah.
I'm going with the A-team.
Okay. You know, I don't necessarily even know what I would call this motherfucker. You pull together everybody you meet in your travels. And,
sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they owe you. But, you know, how you get a motherfucker that, you know, don't have no more battle armor, and they can just go and like, well, fuck it. I owe you a debt anyway, so come on. I'm coming, right? But, yeah, like, I want to see it. Can't wait to see it. And there has been talks that Pedro Pascal is frustrated by the fact that he never gets to take his helmet off. So
right, and that's been a story that's been kind of lingering over the episode, the season.
That's the gig. Like,
yeah, but in the beginning, you probably don't realize that it's going to become the biggest Star Wars thing since the original trilogy.
I mean, look, I get that, but I guess so. Here's my devil's advocate. What is it that you're worried about? That people aren't going to associate your face with this character?
Yes.
Which, okay, I get that. But this isn't 1982. We got Googles and phones, like everybody.
But I think you underestimate, or maybe overestimate, how much people do research because of the way we do research. Right? Like, we know who Pedro Pascal is coming into this shit. I don't know if everybody else does, particularly because there's no accent, there's no... A lot of the swag that he generally brings to a lot of his roles, he don't get to do any of that shit here. And I'm pretty sure during a time of more representation, the fact that he's not able to represent probably weighing a little heavy on him.
I mean...
So tone. I was the exact same way, and then David kind of put it that way, and I was like, yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, I mean, it does make sense.
I mean, look, I from a purely ego perspective, it's not that I don't understand. I just feel like it's an overblown worry. Like, I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone that doesn't know, someone anyway that gives a fuck that doesn't know that Pedro Pascal is the fucking Mandalorian. I think you'd be hard fucking pressed.
I would agree, but we the three of us live in the genre world, so
yeah. My wife,
because even my dad watched all of Game of Thrones. He's watched all the Star Wars, and when I said Pedro Pascal, and my dad's not as into it as I am, but I was like, oh, that's Oberyn Martell from Game of Thrones. He's like, yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was the same guy, and he was like, oh, okay, and it just kind of clicked, and I'm like. You know, when I, again, that was just an example, but the lay person, I don't know, knows Pedro Pascal as a household name yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah. And I think that Oberyn Martell is a huge deal for him. Oberyn
Martell
too.
Honestly, Oberyn Martell played a character that is very similar to a character we just saw in the last episode of Star Wars. Whereas, I mean, he was in one season of Game of Thrones, and he's one of the most memorable characters.
Yep.
Yeah, no, legit. I don't think anybody would argue with that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, dude, you're in one of the greatest TV shows ever made. Well, at least that particular season.
Yeah.
And you were a very memorable character in that. Now you got the greatest Star Wars, the least recent shit in recent memory. I think you're all right, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just give me the devil's advocate here. Who's the dude that played Darth Vader?
I know the actor's name who played Darth Vader.
Yes. What's his name?
He just died a little while ago, actually.
Correct. Correct.
I don't know.
Right. That's my point. And that's Pedro Pascal's point.
But that dude wasn't, look. The vast majority of Darth Vader was about the voice acting. That's correct. That pasty white motherfucker showed up at the last minute when he took the helmet off.
No. The unmasked Vader is another guy.
Is a different guy.
Okay, well, see what I'm saying.
David Prowse, he was the guy that was there the entire time.
He was just he was a giant who could wear the suit.
The other thing is, the original Star Wars had his voice. This motherfucker thought he was going to be the voice until he saw the fucking film.
Have you seen the video of him speaking on set?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
British cat.
RIP to Prowse, of course, but, man, his voice was not Darth Vader.
I mean, look, James Earl Jones is iconic. And to Tone's point,
absolutely.
Right? To Tone's point, who plays Darth Vader? James Earl Jones.
Right.
That is why Pedro Pascal is pushing for him to take the helmet off. That's it.
But I honestly, I mean, we're headed in that direction anyway.
The Katie Sackhoff moment, that's the door. They cracked the door.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? They made a way for it to make sense. So If it happens, it happens. Like, you know, it's all good. I'm not tripping. I'm just saying I don't think the cat has too much to worry about. In like 10 years, he'll be playing the reboot of Zoro and some shit. Like, he'll be all right.
I don't disagree with you, but, you know, look, you never know how many once-in-a-lifetime opportunities you're going to get.
Who that?
Right? You're in right now. He got the hottest show out when there are no movies, no new TV shows, nothing week to week. You have the juice. To quote Kevin Hart, you are the guy.
Wait a minute. You know this motherfucker's in Wonder Woman 84 too? Man, get your, shut your ass up, man. Okay.
No. He's in Wonder Woman 84, but if you don't see his fucking face, it don't matter. This is your opportunity to blow the goddamn doors off. Does Will Smith become Will Smith if this motherfucker got a helmet on Independence Day? No. You have to be seen. People who don't speak English recognize fucking shit that we do, man. But if they can't see your face, they can't recognize, they can't associate you. I get it. It's a brand thing. It's personal brand.
Look, I have a feeling they're gonna look. It's obviously coming. I think they've made that. They've telegraphed that pretty well. And when it does come, I think that moment's gonna be one. It's gonna be savored. And two,
he already took it off once.
Yeah. Did he though?
Yeah. End of season one.
I don't really remember. No, I mean I remember he took it off for, you know, he had a. I think it was the helmet was crushed and he needed to get healed by the helper robot or whatnot. But I don't really remember getting a good shot at his face.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. See, I think we're going to get a good, solid, square look at his face. If not this season, then next season. And it'll be memorable and everybody's going to love it and he'll be fine.
Whoa. All I'm saying is Pedro Pascal said that he need to be seen. And I fucking agree with him.
Well, Mazel Tov.
That's amazing. Okay. So, we all in on Mando?
Oh, yeah. All in.
So, what's next? We're going to get into the new news of Sony and Marvel making all of these announcements. All
right, hold on. When we do this, I'm just going to lay the.
Let's get into it, Scott. Do it.
Set the stage.
Do it.
This is how this conversation started. People listening, this is how the conversation started. Oh, I'm going to drop the news. All I'm going to do is drop the news.
Come on, Tom. Tell them. Tell them.
I'm going to let you two react. All right. This is all I said to them. I sent him an article that said Charlie Cox has been tapped to play Daredevil again in the new Spider-Man 3, which over the past couple days has just announced. They just announced Andrew Garfield and
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina.
Come back as Doc Ock. Jamie Foxx. Come back as Electro.
They're multiversing Spider-Man. Cool. We knew it was coming in Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange is going to be in it too.
That's the key to the multiverse. Yeah, sure.
Right. So they're doing it first in Spider-Man, which is dropping next winter. And then today's...
Which we don't know.
Well, yeah, as of now, it's December of next year. So today's news was, Charlie Cox is back as Daredevil. All right, now the floor is yours, guys. That's the only thing I sent you guys today. Now you guys go.
You make us sound crazy, man.
right. He tried to set us up like we overreacted to shit.
The point that I made. Got Mr. Smarty Art, motherfucker.
Right.
was that yo? Was it? Look, I like Charlie Cox. I liked his his run as Daredevil. I honestly think he was really good at it. But you know. DD is getting a lot of love, and I'm not seeing no love for a man, Luke Cage.
None.
Or, to a secondary point, Jessica Jones, and they both deserve just as much love.
Yep.
So, I absolutely agree. I don't disagree with you. But well, my point was, you know, all the, I mean, they're starting with Charlie Cox. Netflix started only with Charlie Cox. So if they're going to reuse them, and by the way, I'm not convinced that reuse of characters in the MCU is a great idea, but with the Netflix characters, I think I'd make an exception because as a whole, not all of it was good, but I would absolutely take Charlie Cox, Kristen Ritter, Mike Coulter, John Bernthal. Yeah, unfortunately, we got to take Finn Jones too.
No, we don't.
No, I don't.
Fuck, we do. The fuck we do.
Okay. Nope. All right. No, I mean, that's even better. I love that. That's the, but the other four though, main characters, I mean, I want them all in the MCU, all of them.
Yeah. I mean, so here's my thing, right? Kristen Ritter was amazing.
Right.
Like, and I was not always sold on her. Okay.
Right.
But I genuinely like Jessica Jones. I love the Purple Man shit. Yep. I thought that shit was fantastic.
Well, season one of Jessica
Jones.
I think season one, Jessica Jones stands up to Daredevil season one and Punisher season one.
Agreed.
I'm on board with
Luke Cage's first four episodes.
Honestly, I would say Jessica Jones season one is probably the winner.
I think so. I don't even think there's a question.
I don't know. I like Daredevil season one, and man,
I think
Daredevil
people will
season
fight
two,
us on that.
Season two
with,
of Daredevil
like
is really good too.
Some of the fight scenes in Daredevil, but I think overall cohesion and like moments of non-drag because.
But the most potential was Luke Cage.
Sure, absolutely.
So I mean, anybody that listens to the show know I'm a huge X-Men fan, and next to the X-Men, it's my next favorite comic book character of all time is Luke Cage. I love Luke Cage. I think he is fantastic. I started really liking him when he was in the New Avengers comic. So it was like Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Luke Cage. And I'm reading it and I'm going, how is Luke Cage the coolest character in this book with all these other top characters? And that is what made me fall in love with this character. And so seeing him, I told Damon this today, maybe I'd send it to the both of you. One of the coolest scenes in all the Netflix shows is when he takes the circle saw and puts it on his stomach to Jessica Jones. The first time we see him prove that he has powers. And I was like, I think that scene's great. It's just like, wow, Luke Cage is live action Luke Cage. This is fucking fantastic. I love this. I absolutely want to see Luke Cage on film, but you know, in a Spider-Man multiverse setting, I'm more worried about, okay, they got the past Spider-Man. Daredevil and Spider-Man have had a lot of great team-ups in the comic books. That's a cool
solo
thing. Who else to go to? Charlie Cox.
Yeah.
And I want Miles fucking Morales. That's
right.
What I want.
Right. So I think our issue was that with Daredevil, you don't have to include any of the other Netflix folks.
That's true.
You just take Daredevil. You know,
but
so like,
it could be a door into that direction.
But you don't have to.
And it makes sense that they would do that, considering that's the route that they took with Netflix, except that I've heard nothing but the opposite from the from all the people in charge.
Yep.
Like, they almost go out of their way to say, ain't going to be no more Luke Cage. They kind of they act a little mealy-mouthed when it comes to Jessica Jones.
Because of how well Kristen Ritter was received.
Right, but when it comes to Luke Cage and Iron Fist, they're like, nah.
The fact that they lump Iron Fist with Luke Cage is crazy.
It is crazy. And look, I mean, so when we were reviewing the season, so Luke Cage, the first half of Luke Cage season one was fantastic. The second half was, honestly, it was really, really disappointing. And then season two was very enjoyable with a really cool kind of twist ending to it.
Yep.
So that means what? 75% of Luke Cage was just as good as Jessica Jones season one and Daredevil season one. And I would say season two of Daredevil as well. So, but there's that, it's being judged by its worst part. And granted, the second half of season one is just, it's not good. It's almost unwatchable after the first half.
Are you saying Iron Fist or Luke Cage?
Oh, Luke Cage. I'm not even talking Iron Fist.
I don't say it's unwatchable, but the level of...
The drop-off is real.
Yeah, the drop-off is huge. The cliff is absolutely huge.
And it's all based on his villains, right? I mean, Cottonmouth was outstanding, of course. And then Diamondback is just... Who gives a fuck about him? You know, I mean, like, we build up him in the first half, and you think, I mean, this guy's going to be cooler than Cottonmouth. Absolutely. And then you get to him, and you go, oh, he's like a henchman who's better than Cottonmouth? That's weird.
Right.
And then Bushmaster in season two, he was great, too.
Bushmaster was great. Bushmaster was great. I think
that was some of the best stuff.
Yep. But, you know, and some of the motivations.
And they're all based on characters. I mean, they're based on, like, characters who dress up as snake villains in the comic books.
Yep.
And honestly, I mean, I like their designs. I think they're goofy and weird. But seeing them on the, you know, in live action, reimagined as Luke Cage villains as opposed to Captain America villains, is a stroke of genius. So I really like that they use those characters. It's just, for as good as Cottonmouth and Bushmaster was, that's how bad Diamondback was. So that
I would rather have been, instead of Diamondback, have been Tombstone.
It would have been who?
Tombstone.
Oh my God, the Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That'd have been cool. Yeah. Yeah, I'd have been good with actually good. Tombstone. Tombstone's a good. That's a good villain to use with Luke Cage. That's
he fits the profile well. Yeah. And vulnerable skin as well because of, you know, disease makes his skin hard as granite.
I like that. Tombstone's a great idea for Luke Cage villain. I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Or we can keep it 100 with Daredevil. I mean, this is one of the reasons why Daredevil works so well with Spidey is they both share fist.
Yep.
That's true too.
Yep.
Wait, does that mean we might get Vince D'Onofrio as Kingpin?
I mean, it'd be nice just because he plays him in a way.
He plays him masterfully.
There's a sympathetic piece to the way of D'Onofrio plays Kingpin.
Yep.
He's not despicable. Like, even Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, when he's fighting Miles, you don't root for him.
He was good in that, too.
He was good. But listen, every villain is the hero of their own story, right?
Well, that's what made Thanos so enjoyable.
Well, true. That motherfucker, you know, some people tell you he was right. Right? The same way Killmonger. He was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killmonger was great too, yeah.
Kingpin, he wasn't right. Just asshole. But there is this vulnerability to him and a relatability that this dude manages to put through in all his roles. I'm like, yeah, I fuck with this dude.
Yeah. But see, the fact that we even went down that road is what I'm hoping. And again, you don't need him to do this, but I'm hoping that Charlie Cox leads to let's pull. I mean, because the Netflix shows as a whole, you know, even with the low points as a whole, I would recommend watching all of it because of it's still dark MCU. That's the vibe I get with it, and I like that. And for the most part.
They're
I would say gritty more than dark, but I feel
like I give you that. Yep.
But you know what I mean. It's just like it's like a more adult version. I don't know how else to, you know, gritty is a good, gritty's good.
Look, The Punisher is a long fucking show. So is Daredevil.
Yeah.
These shows are long.
I gotta fess up on this one. I never watched The Punisher.
It's okay.
Oh, season one is good. Season two's meh.
Yeah, season one's very good.
Season one is fantastic.
Shoot him up type of guy. For the personal history issues, I'm guns and
completely things. Understand that. Bernthal is a really good actor, though.
No, I like Bernthal. I like him a lot. I just can't take all that shooting.
And there's a lot of bang.
I mean, it's pretty. I mean, the show is he is uber violent on that show.
Yeah, I mean, it's Punisher.
Yeah.
It's Punisher.
And right. Yeah, they do Punisher well. So
he's Frank Castle, right? He's young Frank Castle. He's not enlightened Frank Castle. He's Frank Castle. So
no, I think I don't think they could have cast that shit better.
Frank, I don't think so either.
Like, they nailed it. They nailed it. But
That's why I want to see all of them. Outside of Finn Jones, the casting has been fantastic.
Yes. When I think about how they ruined that, like. All the inspired ideas people had about casting and
Scott Atkins would have been a great Iron Fist.
Oh my God. No, Scott Atkins is too. We had this conversation. He's too physically imposing. Danny Rand has always been kind of slight. Scott Atkins is like 6'1 and yoked. is
right. Like he's some, like, cause
well, Iron but Fist I'm always of a, supposed I'm thinking to be of like a martial artist. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
But Iron Fist is always supposed to be like substantially smaller than Luke Cage.
Slight, yeah. He's you know, he's like average height, slim build. He's not supposed to be nobody that you would notice walking into a right. into a room.
He's just supposed to be dangerous and motherfucker.
Yeah.
You mean like Finn Jones?
Right. Listen to Jay-Z, you know what I mean, on his iPod when his plane went down in the Andes.
Oh my God. God, that was so fucking tired. What the fuck were they thinking?
Jesus. The casting of that shit wasn't right either.
Oh, man.
Well, but so, I mean, but, you know, one of the things, you know, it makes me always think of.
Jessica Hayward.
Back to. Well, yeah, I was just going to say Colleen Wing and Misty Knight were both yeah. really great on those shows.
That's the show we wanted to see.
Daughters of the Dragon. Yeah.
Hey.
That's the show.
Misty Knight had just gotten a robotic arm. Colleen Wing was essentially the fifth defender. Yep. I mean, they were freaking awesome.
Yeah. That's the show.
That was gonna be good, and
you know, and honestly, so had I continued Netflix, you continue Daredevil. I don't know what you do with Jessica Jones. I'll fess up. I did not watch Jessica Jones season 3, so I can't comment to that.
You didn't miss much.
You didn't miss nothing. Okay. There's not even a real villain in season 3.
No. It really felt like they just didn't know what to do with her anymore.
The problem is there's not a lot of history with her.
Yeah, there's no stories left.
So write a fucking story, writers.
Jeez. Well, so here's what I would do. Keep Daredevil going the way it is. Keep Punisher going the way it is. Do a Heroes for Hire show with Luke Cage and, you know, keep Iron Fist around, but do it with Luke Cage and put Jessica Jones with them and make her the, you know, develop the Luke Cage-Jessica Jones relationship in Heroes for Hire. And then... Your fourth show is Daughters of the Dragon with Misty and Colleen Wing.
Yeah.
There you go. You have four shows right there. You eliminate Iron Fist. You eliminate Jessica Jones. And you don't even, I mean, you can keep Defenders going when you come up with a cool story.
I think the plan was probably to discontinue the single series and fold them into the Defenders.
But the Defenders was fucked up because they tried to get them to deal with the Hand. To save the end of Iron Fist.
Yeah.
It tied too closely to the worst show. That's the problem.
Yep.
Well, and according to the insiders, like, the making of it was just such a headache. You know, you have 3-4 different shows with 3-4 different writers, showrunners, and everybody got to be in the room every time they make a character decision. That's a lot to go through. Yeah,
that is. It is.
Yeah, they
telegraphed the season 2. I mean, they could have had a season 2 where the Defenders all team up again to try and take down Luke Cage. Based on his season 2 ending.
That was exactly what I was thinking. Not necessarily, maybe not the Defenders, but maybe Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
She would have been the only one to be able to do it. And that's you know, another way you flesh out that love story.
Well, yeah, Iron Fist could do it. At you know, at his fully actualized self.
Right. Well, see, and the fact that we're talking about all this, that is what I hope the Charlie Cox casting leads to. I hope. But it won't. I mean, I don't think it will either. I agree. I don't think it will. But
I'm not entirely convinced we're getting Miles Morales, frankly.
No, they have to. Miles is too popular.
Oh, no, I agree. They have to. I'm not convinced we won't get him, though.
There's literally no way you can do this without
him. So, somewhat, you know, you have to, I think you also have to save something because, I mean, they've made a lot of announcements that probably would have been cooler had we not known about it. So, I'm hoping they have, I mean, imagine what they have planned that we won't know about. Hopefully, there's something that we're going to see in the movie that we don't already know walking into it. I mean, we already know there's going to be previous Spider-Man characters, Doctor Strange, and Daredevil. So hopefully we get, you know, I don't know, X-Men or I'm just spitballing here, but I hope we get
spitballing. There we go. Just throwing some shit out there.
Yeah, man. but we want to see Miles Morales. Spider-Verse was incredible. They name dropped him in Homecoming. He's got to be around. I don't honestly at this point, I just even if he's the stinger for the next Spider-Man, I just want to see him on live action. I just want to see him.
I think we might see him, but I think it might be a throwaway shot.
There's no way you can do Miles as a throwaway.
Dude, I'm telling you, I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to
that,
be a,
that would hurt my heart. Miles is too big. He's too good.
Head fake. They're going to talk about him and see him real quick. Like
his comics are even good now. Like, no, his shit with Venom has been fantastic. Like, Miles as a character has grown tremendously. He's not just the Black Spider-Man. Like, he has his own shit.
He's Miles Morales. It's to the point now with Marvel, when you're talking Spider-Man, you kind of got to go, well, which Spider-Man are you talking about?
Yeah, which one?
Because, you know, look, Peter Parker, everybody loves Spider-Man. You know, I mean, Spider-Man's cool.
Peter Parker's probably their number one hero in
absolutely. He still is. It's always for the time being, comic book wise, it's Spider-Man, Wolverine, Iron Man, actually it's probably Captain America than Iron Man.
America's new. He wasn't always as popular.
No, well, but what I mean is comic book wise is a little different than live action, right? I mean, live action, you can probably say Spider-Man and Iron Man are 1 and 2 or 1A and 1B. But in the comics, it's always been Spider-Man, Wolverine, Captain America, and then probably Iron Man.
I cannot say I've enjoyed a lot of Iron Man comics because I don't enjoy the characterization of Tony Stark.
He works better on film.
I think so.
Yeah. Whereas Captain America works, he works both. I mean, Captain America.
I didn't really like Cap until Civil War. Just because. There's a lot of depth to Cap that comes post Civil War, where he's not just a Boy Scout. He's there's more to him.
Right.
Tom, let me know. Do you agree with me on this shit, Tom?
Agree that I never, well, no, you know, I have dug Iron Man because of, you know, he's gone through some shit, you know, his struggles with alcoholism.
Yeah.
You know, I dug that storyline. Agree that I did not really get into Cap until Civil War. Because I mean, yo, that was just his book. Like that was, it was a phenomenal story. So that's pretty much where I'm at. And of course, you know, in regards to, you know, our love for Mr. Morales, absolutely agree. Definitely. He is one of the Spider-Men. You know, you no longer just talk about Peter Parker. You definitely include Miles in that, which is a fucking, feat of its own because
it is.
Spider-Man it's got to be Marvel's most popular hero. If it's not Spider-Man, it's Wolverine. It's one of their neck and neck.
Well, and there's even a second Wolverine now. Not that you would say X-23 is Wolverine, but there's another Wolverine kind of, so.
Yep.
But I think to that point, you know, we Miles Morales is the newest of, I mean, honestly, he's at least a top 10 popular character at Marvel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, now
the Spider-Verse, absolutely.
And you know, I think he's still sitting behind the main four Avengers: Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Deadpool on popularity, probably. But that's top 10 still.
That's a really good point. I think I forget about Deadpool, how popular he has become.
Well, and the main four Avengers, right? Cap, Iron Man, Thor, and Hulk.
Post MCU, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
Yeah.
I'm talking right now.
Yeah. Yep.
So Miles is sitting in the what? The 7-8 spot.
Yeah, he's in the top 10. And that's okay.
But then he's got characters like Daredevil to compete with. He's got characters like I guess that's probably it, right? I mean, Daredevil's probably right there too.
Well, no one else has worked well on camera.
I would say he's probably in the league, the tier of dudes like Daredevil, Ghost Rider.
I think he's more than that. Ghost Rider has not worked well on screen.
No, but Ghost Rider is wildly popular.
Wildly popular as, I think, as a comic, not necessarily as a character.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're just talking about Marvel characters. Like, if we're talking about like film Marvel characters, that's a whole other thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, but Miles, I mean, to be that in that realm of character for Marvel in general,
rare right here.
Is a feat. I mean, he's you know, you're just mentioning who are the best characters in Marvel. You name all the A-list guys. I mean, Miles is right there. He just is like, I mean, hey, the second Spider-Man. Oh, Miles Morales. Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, his design in the Spider-Verse was awesome. His design in the comics is awesome. He is he's a really great character, and he opens a door to a new fan base and the old fan base both that Peter Parker doesn't necessarily do. So it's good. I mean I would love to see him on film. I think that would be great. I'm smiling right now just thinking, like, man, can you imagine a Miles Morales walking on with like his hoodie jacket and his Jordans on live action, just like running around the city and be like, man, that'd be cool as hell.
Dude, if this motherfucker come out here with some ones, some motherfucking Spider-Man ones, do you understand? Look, I told y'all before when we saw this goddamn movie, my kids had their spot, like they had their ones on. It's like, daddy, I have those Jordans. Can you imagine what will happen in live fucking camera if this motherfucker shows up with some ones on?
Nigga, I'm grown. I'm too grown for sneakers, but I would buy them joints.
Look, I was on StockX the other day. Like, I would try to talk myself out of 225. Like, not that much. Not that much. During the time of loving COVID, not that much.
You see, well, but the fact that your kids had that reaction to Miles, though. That's exactly it. You know, that reminded me when I was watching when I went to go see Endgame, and it's a similar example but a different one. In Endgame, when Captain Marvel comes on screen and she flies through Thanos' ship, there was a I was kind of sitting probably near the back, and up in the front, there was a little girl that when that happened, before they even showed that it was Captain Marvel, the little girl just gleefully said, "Oh my God, it's Captain Marvel!" And I was like, "Wow, I mean, that's really cool that moments like that still happen with, you know, characters that aren't just, you know, your typical white male superhero."
Yeah, it's very cool and it's very sad that you know, 100 years after fucking character got created, motherfuckers feel it's seen for the first time on camera.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's just, I can imagine how that feels as the dad. I mean, you're seeing that and you go, hell fucking yeah.
It's tough, man. I'm not gonna lie, it's tough.
That's cool. That's a cool, I think about that and I think it hits, especially now, I have a daughter now. I'd love for her to, you know, say stuff like that. That'd be great. So, I mean.
Yeah, I think a lot of those criticisms that people have of Brie Larson for Captain Marvel will go away when you have a daughter, right?
Oh, sure.
You have a really, really strong, powerful female character.
Who was mad at Brie Larson? What was she supposed to do?
Oh, dude, the fanboys shit all over.
They hate her.
Yeah. Well, what did she do?
Just I have to find an article, but like there's a lot out there that, I mean, like, fanboys didn't like the feminist type character there, or that what they perceived as a feminist type character.
Yeah, aka not playing secondary to some white male,
or looking like, you know, a supermodel wearing a skin tight uniform.
Yep.
I mean, did they forget that she's, like, you know, damn near all powerful?
Like, she's the most powerful.
Is that supposed to be somebody that walks around weekly?
Tell them these are the same people. These are the same people who probably don't wear masks out in public.
No. Talk to them. Talk your shit. You go have me out here some ad libs. Talk to him.
Go in, dog. Go in.
Right. Talk your shit.
What was it that Dave Chappelle before SNL? He's just like, oh, he was like, yep, those people probably don't wear masks.
Yeah. Definitely don't wear masks. It's just terrible, man. But look, we say all that to say, to the original point before we got in this 25-minute tangent.
Tangents.
Right, tangents. There, like, if you just take Daredevil to I guess, to just fucking leaving Luke Cage behind. If fucking Miles Morales don't show up, we're fucking, we marching. We marching out here. Fuck that. That's it. Me and Tone want to. Representation matters, motherfucker.
It's close.
Right.
They can't do nothing for you.
Right. That's it.
No. Look, I want to see Miles on screen, and I hope we get something more than more than a head nod, a head fake, etc. Even more so, I want to see Luke Cage on film, like to talk about. You know, one of the things that makes Deadpool so popular is how perfectly they cast. You know, Ryan Reynolds is fucking Deadpool, just like Jay Baruchel is fucking the Punisher. I didn't think they would be able to pull Luke Cage off, but Mike Coulter is fucking Luke Cage, man. It's the best iteration I've seen, you know. And I read a little bit of Luke Cage, wasn't really my dude in the comic book, so I fell in love with this character with the Netflix show. So to see them waste, again, an amazing actor, amazing characterization, amazing storyline. It's just a fucking shame. You know, it's a fucking shame.
Maybe we see him in the role. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it. Whatever they want to give me, I'll take it. I really will.
I mean, I'm sitting here gushing over a scene where he's simply just crushing a saw on his, you know, on his skin. I'm like, man, that's great. That's so cool. I love that. I'm all in.
There's so many. I just love the running coffee gag. You know, I mean, it just seems like everywhere he, in every room he walks into, every woman in that room wants him. I love that gag. It's stupid and it's silly, but like, I love it.
And it works. But it works.
I mean, it definitely works. It definitely.
Yeah. I would love to see. I mean, you know, the end of. I remember my first reaction to the end of season two of Luke Cage was. I didn't like it because I don't like the idea of him being set up as a villain. So I didn't like the turn at first, but having sat with it for a while, I thought it was the perfect springboard to bring the Defenders back and make a better season two and really get something like that going and say, hey, you know what? They got to form again to take him down and maybe remake him as a hero again.
Right. I actually really like the storyline because to me, it spoke to, it spoke to sort of like the heartbreak you go through. He is a guy who, you know, first of all, let's remember how his whole story starts off. He's wrongly accused, wrongly imprisoned. He goes through this terrible fucking ordeal that, if I recall correctly, killed everyone before he got to it. And like, that's how he gets out on the streets. That's his origin story. You know, so he starts off in this really shitty place. And, you know, at least in the Marvel stories, you know, he goes from, he's trying to be the protector of Harlem. He gets, you know, he gets basically shit on from every fucking side. And right. In the end of it, he ends up wanted. So like, then he comes back in season, I think this is season three or whatnot, to sort of like, finally, like take back his streets, finally sort of like protect his neighborhood. And then just makes the decision like, I really can't leave this in other people's hands. So if I'm gonna be the hero of Harlem, then like I need to step up to the plate and control all of this shit, even if, you know, I don't get to be the hero anymore. Like, right. I'm serving the greater good, even if that means I need to like step onto the bad side once in a while. Like that's a very relatable, real life choice that someone could make. So.
But he could have been that would have been a great move. I mean, we were just talking about all the great villains who we really like in the comic books or comic book movies, like Thanos or Killmonger, characters that some people get behind, even though they're, you know, they can be crazy. Luke Cage could have been that type of villain for the Defenders, possibly even having them question themselves. And that's, you know, that's the sign of a good villain. And, They really had a lot of great material there. They had a lot of great material that they never went back. And again, it was because Defenders wasn't good, Iron Fist wasn't good, Jessica Jones stalled out. You know, you can't keep it going.
Well, particularly when some of the most, I think, interesting stories between some of those characters involve the other characters.
Right? Yeah.
Right? You know, with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, some of the biggest things that happen are because they get together. Like, they're constantly in danger. How do they deal with that as a couple? How do they deal with that as parents? How do they deal with a, you know, overly powered child? And then, you know, like the latest storyline, which was awesome, you know, after Brian Michael Bendis left, to see Jessica Jones with another level of purple still showing up. Like, those are awesome stories that you cannot tell unless those two characters are together.
Right.
Why wouldn't you tell a story?
No, and it's so good. I mean, I know for a while they were talking, if I recall correctly, they were talking about thinking about doing a Disney family joint centered on the child between Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. I'm glad they didn't do that. But, I mean, well, you know, I get the appeal, and, you know, the character is definitely an interesting one, but, you know, our introduction to this was the grittier side of Marvel, so to speak, so it's going to be hard to wash all that grit away and what are you left with after that, you know what I mean?
Not a whole lot, unless you couple those two motherfuckers together, because the other thing is, Carol is Jessica's best friend, right? You know, like the gateway to have Captain Marvel just show up every once in a while is one of the best things that happens from that. Like, there's a lot of really cool gateways that come from these stories that we just don't see.
Correct. Well, hopefully, you know, they can get to the point where maybe that's what they're planning with the Disney Plus shows, where you can justify having just simply one scene where, you know, Spider-Man swings through and, you know, helps, you know, in like for a 2-minute scene and then he goes away, or Iron Man flies in and then flies out. That happens in the comics all the time.
All the time. I mean,
that's why, you know, and the scene I'm thinking of that got shit on when it first came out, and, you know, it's not a great movie, in Suicide Squad, when Flash shows up, he shows up for like a minute. But that to me worked because I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, that it was like a comic book scene. He just pops in and pops out. And I like that. I like that type of thing. And maybe that's what they're doing with these Disney Plus shows, because I suspect we're going to get a little bit of that.
I mean, we're going to get some of that with, what is it?
WandaVision. Which does look weird, though. It looks pretty weird.
But apparently it's required viewing to enjoy the films.
And it's supposedly she's going to be in the next Doctor Strange movie too. So technically that is where the multiverse could pop up for the first time.
Well, Doctor Strange it's supposed to be the introduction to the multiverse, but
Spider-Man can do that.
Well, it already has, obviously, the other one. But if you think about MCU wise, Wanda's ability to alter reality is where you get your first glimpse.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, we started this because of Black Lives Matter, and y'all motherfuckers thought we forgot. Black Lives still matter in this bitch. Hold on. Have we done anything since the election?
I was just going to say, I don't think we have.
Hey, motherfuckers, eat that. Take that. No, fuck them. If you're not on the team, fuck you. Don't listen to my shit. If you're not on my team, get the fuck out of here. I don't want your listens. Fuck you.
Oh my god.
Fuck you and your bitch ass mama. I don't give a shit.
Wow.
This is real. These motherfuckers tried to completely topple an entire democracy. Fuck you. I don't want you listening to my shit
and they still are.
Yeah, and it's literally taken every piece of our judicial system to tell them, no, go away. These motherfuckers still trying not to, fuck them. every motherfucker who sat up here and said that they are for democracy and are still trying not to admit that Trump lost, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Kiss my ass. Oh, no, you guys are political. You're talking race shit again. Kiss my whole black ass. Both cheeks, taint, get your tongue all the way inside. I might even not wipe all the way. Fuck you.
The taint. Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, man, I just have a real big issue with all of this. Motherfucker, you lost. Take your L, hold that L, set that L on fire, and eat that motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here. You did everything possible for 4 years to blow this bitch up, and the country said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. Just because your bitch-ass cronies was fitting to let you do this, the country is not. And so you're just going to sit up here and preemptively pardon motherfuckers who's on your team and shit. How do you preemptively pardon a motherfucker? Hey, look, if y'all ever want to bring charges against this bitch-ass dude, I'm pardoning him. What? If he ever broke the law, I'm pardoning him. If he ever did something you want to bring charges against, I'm pardoning him. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here.
But, okay. in a way, just I'm on board with everything you said, but in a way, part of me is just like, if that's how it's going to be, you know what? Don't even give them any attention at all. Just move on. Let's right the ship.
I think you have entirely too much faith in white people.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't have that shit. Right. Like, a whole bunch of y'all motherfuckers still voting for that bitch ass dude. So fuck it all. I just saw some bitch ass people up the street from me who had like a really tiny Confederate flag in their front yard, but they had a really big ass billowing ass Trump flag. They just took that shit down for Christmas because it's time to come together and celebrate. Fuck you.
The funniest ones are the people who think that Jesus is the one behind Trump too. Like, they think that like Jesus had something to do with Trump being like, okay. That's, I don't know. That's really freaking hilarious to me.
Yeah, they ain't gonna kiss my ass. Fuck them too. My God, it's spiteful than a motherfucker. And they probably have COVID now, so fuck them. I'm sorry, Jesus. I didn't mean to say that. Whew. Whew. All right. We're gonna shake that off. We're gonna shake that off. We're gonna shake that off. Whew. It felt hot in my edit.
No, you're not. Don't even tell that lie.
I know I'm not going to edit that shit. I'm just saying. So, yeah. Basically, we want to see characters that we're interested in. I'm tired of saying six characters. And, you know, as much as I love Wolverine, I'm going to have a really difficult time seeing anybody other than Hugh Jackman play this motherfucker. Because, realistically, he shouldn't be 5'4".
Like, I'm not. You know, I think they go the comic book route next time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean the comic book route?
5'4"?
Like, yeah, short.
Short, burly.
You know, I would go that route. That's what I would do.
I mean, I think it's time to retire him for a generation.
I think so too.
I feel the same way about Cap too. Just to keep it fair, like I cannot.
Well, I mean, to be like, I'm gonna piggyback on that. I really hope the MCU doesn't comic book this shit too hard, because I mean we've already essentially said every death that happened in Infinity War and Endgame, there's loopholes to all.
Yep.
All. I mean, you know, Vision's going to be back, Gamora's going to be back, Black Widow's going to be back, although that's in a prequel, but still she's going to be back. You know, I'm assuming we're going to get. I mean, I think Tony Stark is supposed to pop up in that Black Widow movie, so that's a loophole there.
It's a prequel, so yeah.
Yeah, but again, I'm just like, I mean, I really own Loki. Loki died, and he's going to get his own show. So,
he's a god, so.
Loki's a god.
Yeah, but see, I know, but again, that's exactly my point. I
I wish they would just, you know, leave some stuff on the table and let's dive into the deep catalog that you have, and without having to tread water. You know, I don't want any more. I mean, for now, Tony Stark and Steve Rogers can stay, you know, they can be left on the table. We don't need to see any more of them currently. If we didn't see any more Loki, I think that would honestly be better.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Hiddleston's really good. He got an Infinity Stone, so.
I don't disagree, but it's if there's one pet peeve, and I know this is the pot calling the kettle black here. You know, I love comics, but the one thing I don't like the dead return, dead return, dead return, and that happens all the time in comic books. And I hope they don't do that in the movies.
Look, you cannot spend all that time building up a character, making people care about them, for the motherfuckers to stay dead. Shit don't make sense.
For Iron Man, I think it does.
For Iron Man, sure, but that's because, you know, Robert Downey's 50-some-odd years old and tired doing
this. For Black Widow, I think it does, because you give the mantle to somebody else.
Well, that's what they're doing. Florence Pugh is going to be the new Black Widow.
Yeah, and I'm good with that. I mean, that's DC does that better than Marvel. They always have with the lineage, character lineage.
Yeah, I mean, they move the mantle, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
So the issue is this, right? And Tone, tell me if I'm wrong here. Because Scott,
there's certain characters you can't do that to. So,
but listen. Scott, I know you're super opinionated on this. Tone, let me know if you agree with me on this shit.
I'm waiting.
DC, these motherfuckers are metahumans, demigods, the whole shit, right? Other than the humans, who just good as fuck at what they do. If you are another human who's good as fuck at what you do, you can be that motherfucker too.
You mean like Batman?
Yes. Because that's it, right? But you look at somebody like Green Lantern. Green Lantern was never just a person. There was always a billion of these motherfuckers. So this is not a big leap to be able to, like, recast them. Hey, look, John Stewart, come on down. Kyle Rayner, come on down. Guy Gardner, come on down, right? And even
But Green Lantern, it works. It works perfectly with them.
Flash, you've always had multiple Flashes running around, yeah. Right? There's only one motherfucking Wolverine. X-23 is great. She's not Wolverine.
The problem is he's effectively immortal.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's no need to pass the, you know, pass.
Correct.
The
he doesn't age until we get to Old Man Logan. And anyway, that's what, 20, what was that, 25, 30? Like,
so do we even think, given that they're exploring the multiverse here, I mean, can they somehow talk Hugh Jackman into coming back?
Well, he said if he did, he'd probably be Old Man Logan.
Hell, I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Jackman's not coming back in the way that we're used to. That
correct. Correct.
I suspect we're going to spite. I mean, if they're going to multiverse, they're going to go X-Men, right? I mean, they're going to do something X-Men related.
Not necessarily. I haven't. The way that they're. I mean, look, it seems the obvious way to bring mutants into this is via Wanda, you know, yep. Because she's the kind, you know, she ended mutants in the books.
Yep.
And since she could bring them to life in the movies, and that would be a nice little bookend. But it's still really unclear as to how and when, if we're going to get mutants in the MCU. You know,
I think they should do it piecemeal. I would do it just a character here and there, not X-Men, just characters here and there. So, you know, you want to use Rogue and Captain Marvel? Cool, use Rogue and Captain Marvel. You want to use Omega Red somewhere, or you want to use Deadpool movie. No, my point is, you if you want to use characters, now open up the characters, but don't even reference the X-Men. Just say, I want to use Colossus.
Why would you spend all that motherfucking money and only use Miles Morales?
Because you're building up to the next big Marvel reveal. It took 23 movies to get to see everybody on screen. over 10 years for all the Avengers, the next big buildup is their other popular super team, the X-Men.
But there's no way you're going to start with Omega Red.
I mean, I'm assuming the first X-Men thing we'll see is Deadpool. We're going to see Deadpool somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, but Ryan already said he's going to be in some shit, and that's okay. But realistically...
In fact, I would expect Deadpool to pop up in the Spider-Man movie.
Because he can. He can be anywhere.
Right. Right.
No, I bet they do that. Bullshit. No.
I like this.
I don't want to see that.
I like this. Tom's feeling very strongly about this. I like it. Continue.
No. There's a whole list of people who somehow. There's this whole one-sided romantic relationship between Deadpool and Spider-Man, and people love that shit. And I don't want look. First of all, what's the little boy's name? Tom Holland. That motherfucker's 12. Ryan Reynolds is 48. Like that shit. And I'm wildly exaggerating, but the point is.
All I'm saying is a blink. You were talking about a blink and you'll miss it moment for Miles. That's what I think we get with Deadpool. It'll be Ryan Reynolds popping up as a cameo simply to just say something and then he'll leave.
Now that I would look, if
they that's what I'm talking about. I don't think he'll be the main character. I think he'll be a cameo in a multiverse movie. It's an easy thing to do. People love Ryan Reynolds. People love Deadpool.
But I love the way where Tom was going with this though. Like the man crush aspect of Deadpool to Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, they can't do that here. They can't do that. The age. No,
you're right. The age difference.
It's too great. Also, makes it weird. It's one thing to see that in a tongue-in-cheek comic book, but to see it on screen, I don't know. I'm just feeling like that's not gonna work.
Probably wouldn't do that. So
I listened to there was an article it was a few weeks ago, and actually it was more than that. But one of the rumors when they were first talking about Doctor Strange in the multiverse, and I don't remember who did they sign up for the director, but then when they signed the director, the rumors started piling up on what we were going to be seeing in that movie. And they had said some of the multiverses they may look in on are alternate MCUs where the cast would be, you know, like Emily Blunt was originally supposed to play Black Widow. So yep. Emily Blunt would be Black Widow.
Yeah,
and Tom Cruise was considered for
Wolverine.
For Tony Stark, and they've already rumored that Tom Cruise may pop up as an alternate Tony Stark.
Yeah,
that type of thing is, you know, and if Tom Cruise,
I'd be interested to see if that happens, particularly recognizing that Emily Blunt, John Krasinski were our front runners for Mr. Fantastic.
Right.
And
by the way, which is very inspired casting. I love that casting.
Well, particularly because Krasinski's proven himself to be a really adept at making films.
Right. Well, because, I mean, we're assuming that he would play and write and direct as well.
I mean, he'd probably direct. I think the writing would come from the Marvel Brain Trust.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
He put his bid in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been he's even hinted when he did that Some Good News thing on YouTube. He was hinting at it a couple times, too. Yeah. There has been no news confirming it, but Krasinski has all but said, you know, to the effect of, or, you know, I don't even remember what he said, but he had hinted upon it.
Yep.
All right. I guess we're going to find out.
Look, Emily Blunt took another fucking actress out of A Quiet Place because she liked that role so much. So please understand, she not letting this motherfucker near nothing that's good unless she coming.
I'm good with that.
I think she'd be great, Sue Storm.
Do you know who the popular fan casting is for Johnny Storm?
Who's that?
Andrew Garfield.
What?
Yeah.
No.
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 Oh, you're being silly. Stop it.
Right. Like, I feel like you're tickling my feet, motherfucker. You're tickling my feet.
Come on now.
let me see if I can find an article about
it. No, I'm good, B. I'm good.
Nah, I don't need to see it. That's just silly.
I'm good. I don't want to hear that. So wait. So who else we got?
You know who would have been good for it? He's too old now, but Armin Hammer would have been good at that shit.
Armin Hammer's too big for it.
You think like, so?
Physically.
Yeah, I think he is too. Human Torch is not a giant.
Yeah, he's not that big.
Yeah, how big is Armin Hammer?
6'1"?
I was going to say 6'3".
Is he that big?
No, I think he's big. I think he's
maybe,
big.
Maybe he's not that big. But
I don't know if he's that tall, but I know he's big.
Yeah. 6'5".
He's 6'5".
Yeah. See, I knew it.
Like, you might be better off having that motherfucker play the thing. Like, yeah. He's enormous. 6'5" is enormous, dude.
I didn't know he was that fucking big. Damn.
Right. On screen, that's huge. Because most of these motherfuckers top out at 5'8".
I mean, Human Torch would have to be smaller than John Krasinski. Mr. Right. Panther.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's not going to work. God, dog, I had no idea, honestly.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Plus, he's got to be a little younger, too. So, I don't know. And he's got to be, I think you pick a comedian, too, if you can.
Sure. Yeah. Pick, you know, but the problem is you look at someone like Pete Davidson, but he's going to be high as fuck on set. So, you can't do that shit.
Nah, see, I you know, it's funny. I was actually thinking Davidson, too, but I don't know if I like him as Human Torch.
No, he's not good for that.
No.
Go ahead, Tom.
No. Not Pete Davidson. I mean, I see what you're doing, but nah.
Nah. I don't know who it would be, honestly.
No, but I like where you're going with that. Like, the idea that you wanted to be somebody funny. I think that's a really good idea.
Well, because I'm honestly, in the two shitty Fantastic Four movies that Fox did, the best part of it is Chris Evans as Human Torch.
Yeah. You know, honestly, he was good. He was a good
He was very, very good as Human Torch.
Honestly, so was, look, I know everybody hated the Miles Teller version, but yeah. I liked it. And I thought Michael B. Jordan was a great Torch.
I did, too.
He was great.
I did, too.
He was all right.
Yeah, I think he embodied a lot of the swag, a lot of the arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, he did. Yeah, he did do that. But I think Chris Evans nailed the comedy, so I think you want to do both.
Yeah, no.
But this was not a comedic.
It was
Fantastic Four.
That's true. But Johnny Storm is that's usually how he's portrayed.
Yeah, he's the comedic relief. But right. The issue is this, right? If you know that you're not going to do a black Johnny Storm, because you to be able to do that, you would have to have a Michael B. Jordan, right? Who's somebody, even white folks is like, that motherfucker is pretty sexy, right? you gotta have that motherfucker. It can't just be an unknown black actor who people think is attractive. Like, you gotta be like almost stratifying race to be able to do that. So,
You know what? So speaking of that, so I mean, speaking of like, if we're race swapping, you know who would be a good thing? Winston Duke. I know he's already Baku, but he would be a good thing.
We'd love him.
Yeah, he would be a good Ben Grimm. And I'm basing that off his character in Us.
He would be a good Ben Grimm. You're right. Yeah. He would be great. That's a good one.
And I would be, and that's a race swap where it wouldn't matter because Thing is a rock. So it doesn't matter what color he is.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
It's weird, though, because, you know, I think one of the things that we've also recognized is that you don't always have to do the origin story. But with Fantastic Four, you probably do.
Yeah.
Well, if I were Marvel, I would probably do the Fantastic Four origin story in like a post credit scene of another movie or something. Or almost
it's
do
too,
it.
It's too deep.
Spider-Man, I mean, we haven't seen a Spider-Man origin story in the MCU.
No, because they said that everyone has done the origin story too many times.
Yeah.
So Fantastic Four's already done it twice. I don't want to see it again.
Right. So here's the thing. Here's what you'd end up doing, right? Either the through line of the Fantastic Four is news clips in the background and videos of them getting onto the fucking plane.
See, now I would love that. Yep, that would be
but
great.
Then the post credit scene of them crash landing and having that shit come like turn them into the Fantastic Four and you not knowing how it plays out. You see them like going through it but then being established as a Fantastic Four later in a later film.
That would be dope. That'd be really cool.
I'll take that.
By the way, this Titans show is not bad at all.
Dude, I told you. Mm-hmm. It's great.
It's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Doom Patrol is better.
Agreed.
Mm.
Agreed.
This is way more accessible to me.
Doom Patrol is better.
Hawk and Dove, these four crazy-ass motherfuckers just beat motherfuckers up. I love this shit.
Hawk and Dove is good. No, it's very good.
Minka Kelly.
They're diving deep into the young characters at DC, too.
But Scott's right. Doom Patrol is just, it's just good.
That shit is I was telling Scott the other day, I don't know if I have the ability to go. How many fucking episodes is that in two seasons? 40-some-odd episodes?
Wait, what?
In Doom Patrol? How many episodes? 13 episodes per season?
It was like 13, 15-episode arcs.
Per season?
I don't even know if it's that much.
That's a lot of fucking episodes, man. I was telling you, if I did one a night for the rest of the year,
it's 12. It's 12 each season.
It's 24. Yeah. Motherfucker, yeah. I'm into 2021.
And aren't they fucking... Well,
and actually season two is 9, so season one is...
All right, okay, all right. I'll take that.
Yeah, season one is 15.
Yeah, it's a lot. These motherfuckers,
Doom Patrol is good.
I'm on like episode 5 or 6, dude. I don't know if I can do it.
No, it's good, dude.
You know who my favorite character is in Doom Patrol is Cyborg. I like Cyborg.
You like Tone? Tone out here acting though. Bro. I will not. Look, man, we've been bullshitting for a while before we do anything. What else have you watched? We got 5 minutes. What else have you
watched? New Mutants. I watched New Mutants.
I did as well.
And I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay.
Tone, did you watch it?
Nah, where's that at?
It's on...
I got Prime. It on Prime. Yeah, I just rented it on Prime. It might even be available on Prime now or HBO. I don't know.
I rented it.
So was the movie.
The movie. The one that just came out this year.
Yeah, I got no interest in that. I might peep, but it didn't...
I mean, I would wait. My recommendation would be just wait till it's free.
Yeah, don't pay for it.
It's not the train wreck that the reviews would lead you to believe. In my opinion, it wasn't. That doesn't mean it's good. It's not good, but it's definitely not. It's definitely not bad, dude. It's not bad. It's not bad.
There's no actual villain. So
what is it? The Scooby Gang learned how to control their powers, like.
That's not kind even. Of yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, kind of. The thing that works here is the casting is spot on, which is kind of amazing. I thought that before going into the movie, and after the movie, I still feel that way. The issue is they don't really use their powers a lot, so it's not necessarily a superhero film.
Right.
They lean on the horror, but it's not really a horror film.
It's like a really gritty Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that's kind of.
I love the Breakfast Club. So
I love the Breakfast Club too. I think that's why I like the movie, or not like it, but like don't hate it. I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, but my bar was very low, which is why I think I liked it more than I thought I would.
Like Charlie Heaton's Southern accent, trash.
To be fair, I love Anya Taylor-Joy, but her accent even was a little spotty at some point.
A little bit, but
yeah,
you know, and she takes magic in a place I'm not necessarily sure she's supposed to go.
I actually didn't mind that. I thought it was. I thought that part of. Are we referring to the hand puppet?
Yes, Lockheed.
Yeah, so I actually
turned into a real fucking dragon.
I thought that was actually clever.
Why? Lockheed's supposed to be a kitty pry.
Yeah, but working with a character like Magic, who, by all means, if she's shown full power on screen at any point in the future, she is one of the most powerful characters in Marvel Comics.
Sure.
I think that's a clever way to show a super powerful character who has a dragon friend. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Like, Tone, I know it sounds like we're ruining this shit for you, but we're not. I promise you.
Tone, if you have any interest in it, I would loosely recommend it. It's not a train wreck. It's not. I mean, that's my, again, I'm, you know, Damon says I'm biased, and I guess I am.
You are.
So I don't think it's a train wreck.
Look.
It's better than Dark Phoenix. I know that's a low bar, but it is better than Dark Phoenix.
Oh, fuck it. That shit is akin to The Room, so I don't want to hear that shit.
Well, okay, that's ridiculous. that's completely ridiculous.
Look, the film is not great. It is very clear this shit has been reshot because some of the scenes will feel like this is a scene from another movie. How did this even get here?
Well, I mean, there's a reason the shit was on the shelf for, what, four years? I think they shot it, and was it was 16 or 17?
16. I think it was 16. Damn, you have fucking Arya Stark, fresh off of Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? And the thing is, like, I really wanted to like Rain.
Well, yeah, so her casting was good. You know, I was more thinking about Sunspot had nothing to do. He essentially was the Cyclops of this movie. He didn't have anything to do.
Yep.
And they leaned a lot on Alice Braga's character, and Dr. Regnus is not a great character anyway in the comics. So that was a little, I don't know, that was a little rough as well. But I really liked, I liked Magic. I thought Cannonball was cool. I mean, again, outside of his, you know, the Southern accent was funny.
Yeah, outside of his accent. But the problem is Cannonball's not supposed to get hurt by his own fucking powers. This motherfucker broke up half the goddamn time.
Yeah, but I took that to mean, you know, he's still learning how to control it. If he can't control it, he could get hurt.
Sure.
That's how I saw that.
Sure. Explain it away. I didn't love that shit, Tone. I think Scott's gonna see that a little bit more favorably than I am.
Yeah, and that's, I mean,
it's just how we break down around us. That's okay.
Yeah. They should have done. They should have done a co. It would have been cool to see a post credits with Mr. Sinister though, like they had planned.
Mm-hmm.
That'd have been cool.
So tired of hearing about Nathaniel Essex and not seeing Mr. Sinister. Fuck out of here.
Because they did it in Deadpool 2, Logan, and this.
That's my point.
Yeah. I'm
tired of hearing about Nathaniel Essex. Just show Mr. Sinister. Fuck out.
And it was supposed to be John Hamm.
Yep. And that should have been amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of that.
Damn, that would have been like, that would have been just a cool.
There was like a whole bunch of really cool things planned for the end of that film that didn't materialize. So.
Well, I mean, it would have been what? John Hamm as Mr. Sinister. They would have brought in a Warlock in the next movie, which would have been pretty cool. I mean, the New Mutants book has some really unique art and really unique storytelling for an X-Men book. It's interesting. You know, it took me a little while to get into it, but it because it's a little different, but it does some cool things. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to think more favorably of it than Damon has.
Yep. Tom, what you been watching?
Well, you know, I just put to bed Supernatural, End of an Era.
Please understand, I am genuinely amazed that you are still keeping track of this fucking show.
Well, I'm not keeping track of a goddamn thing at this point.
Well, it's over. So yeah.
Over. So I just put that to bed and, you know, it was satisfying. Ready to move on with my life.
I'm about to say, it's just a bad girlfriend.
I mean, they weren't all bad years.
See? You're in an abusive relationship with Jensen Ackles and he still got you.
They weren't all bad years. We had some good times.
She forgot my birthday.
I mean, on my credit card, you know what I'm saying?
But, right.
She can make a mean steak, though. So I put that to bed, and I I've been not watching a whole heck of a lot. some old Canadian show I've been watching, Being Erica. I don't think anybody's ever seen it, but I've been watching that shit on Hulu. And American Housewife. That's my new shit.
What the fuck you been watching?
Katie Mixon, man, I don't know. She's funny to me. I like it.
Who?
The lead actress. I think her name is Katie Mixon or Mingson or some shit like that.
In Being Erica or another?
No, in American Housewife. Okay. It's a cute little funny show. Ain't nothing fancy. And yeah, that's it, man. There's not much on. I mean, I didn't pretty much clear out my whole damn queue.
Yeah, dude. I've watched so much fucking TV this year. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm caught up with everything I need to get caught up on, man. Like, there's nothing left for me.
I'm watching. I told Damon this. I'm watching A Teacher on Hulu.
Oh, I saw that. Tomorrow. I mean, I didn't watch it, but
it's good. It's good. It's kind of a different look at that type of story. It's more cautionary than it is dramatic. Mm. I like it. Kate Mara's really good in it. The actor too. I don't know his name, but he's really good in it too.
Yeah,
good. I recommend it. The episodes are it's like a half hour format, so they're good. I think it's 10 episodes and there've been 7 already. So, they come out on Tuesdays. I watch that every Tuesday too. I really enjoy that.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I finished the Maisie Williams vehicle, 2 Weeks to Live, on HBO Max. 6 good. Episodes, really well done. Quirky energy. If you watch Fleabag, The lady who played her sister, I believe her name is Cian something. Gosh, fuck, Cian Clifford, I believe her name is. She's in this. It's just a really well done show. 6 episodes, 25 minutes episode, quick. Burn through it. It's a good watch. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been watching all manner of horror movie on Hulu and Netflix. Netflix has been doing a lot of horror series, and like I don't know if I have the time and energy for series as much as I used to. Hold on, there's a Pedro Pascal film that I watched the other night, I should say. It's like On Another Planet. I think it's like Prospector or something.
No idea.
Yeah, no. Like, it's weird. I think it's a 2018 film. It's a sci-fi thriller. A man and his teenage daughter encounter nonstop danger while searching for valuable gems on the alien moon.
Okay.
This motherfucker takes a goddamn turn. I wouldn't say it's good, but this motherfucker takes a turn, and it goes there. And once it go, that shit don't never come back. I watch I just be watching shit late at night, man. But this was a good one. I should say good. It's entertaining. Like the swag that I felt was missing from Mando with Pedro Pascal is on full display here. You get all that here.
Well, that's what's up.
Yeah. There's a couple of horror flicks I've seen on Hulu. Don't Look Behind You, I think that show was called. I'm not sure. Just, there's a bunch of shit out.
I watched, Christmas time. I just watched, the wife and I watched Happiest Season. I think that was on Hulu.
Oh, I peeped that too.
With Mackenzie Davis and Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, a friend of mine is in the cast, so I was.
Excuse me?
Yeah, who?
Allison Brie's husband, black dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Are you? Oh, okay. I liked him in that movie, or, you know, he was good in it. So, yeah, I mean, that was a guy. I thought that movie was, about the first half, I was kind of meh. And then, you know, there's a moment in the movie that kind of really grabbed my attention.
That shit's fucking San Junipero.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. It's yes. that's actually it turned out to be a really good movie. So I really enjoyed that.
Go. Cool. Since we know motherfuckers, time we get them on the show. About to start shooting some shit out. See what we can do. But yeah, that's Sputnik is now on Hulu. The fucking film that we talked about, what, 5-6 months ago at this point? The Russian film is now on Hulu for free. So if y'all got Hulu, go check that out.
I have not seen that.
Go check that shit out, man. That's a good film.
Okay.
It's Russian, though. It's all in Russian, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's
fine. Like, it is not a film that buries the lead. Like, where a lot of American films will make you wait till the end of the last third before you see what the danger is. Not in this motherfucker. Danger, real, and immediate. And then just kind of unravels the shit around it. So, go check that out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I will.
Books of Blood, also on Hulu. That's out here pretty good. There's an anthology of Hulu joints. They're like called like 2 Minute Horror or something, and they are quite good. The town aforementioned Bad Hair. Apparently, there's a Mary J. Blige film called Body Cam. No. The Hunt also comes to Hulu this month too, so if you feel like getting dirty. Annie and Apocalypse, so that should. Crawl, not great. Devil's Doorway, Depraved is fucked up, man. I saw that shit.
I never even heard of that.
There's a lot of weird shit on Hulu that just give it a shot, right? If you got 90 minutes, because a lot of these shits are like 90 minutes, just throw them on. And you're like, okay, this shit wasn't bad.
You know, it's fun. Back in the day when we first, started the show up, you and I were reversed. You know, you were watching the series and I was like a bigger fan of the movies. Now I feel like I'm watching.
Yeah.
I'll dive into a series and you're like, no, I just got 90 minutes. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. But think about it like this. Where are you in your life and where am I in my life?
Touche.
Right? Yeah. So remember when I told you that shit would change?
Yeah.
The Lodge is on Hulu. Mom and Dad, which we covered 2 years ago. Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair. Go check that shit out.
Fun flick.
Yeah, it's just fun. Overlord is out there.
Overlord is good.
I haven't seen that shit. I need to watch it.
What? Oh, yeah, that's cool, man.
That's a great one to watch, particularly now that it's free and at home.
The cast makes it fun, too, because they're all guys like you go, like, oh, I know that dude.
Yeah, you'll enjoy that one. That shit's good.
And the villain is spot on, too, based on genre shit.
Hell yeah. Tragedy Girls. The girl who plays Negasonic in Daredevil movies, she Brianna Hillbred, I believe her name is.
I didn't even know she's been doing other shit, so that's cool.
Yeah, she did a horror joint called The Tragedy Girls. Fun. Just Tragedy. A fun film. Yeah, Tragedy Girls. Villains, Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe, who was in... Oh, fuck. It Follows. She's in this shit. She's good. We Are Where We Are.
Wait, what's Tragedy Girls on?
Hulu. All this is on Hulu.
I think I'm just like looking into it. I think that's something I'm gonna watch too.
Yeah, you should watch The Wretched. I watched that shit late one night. That shit's wild as fuck. Like, you know, you can fuck with that one. I like that one. I like the Wretched a lot. So.
Oh, I finally watched, a movie that I had not watched. You guys have been talking about it for a long time. I finally watched Train to Busan.
Oh, finally.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. And, boy, that is fucking wild there, man. Wow. That was good. I really enjoyed that.
It only took you, what, 5 fucking years? Jesus.
I know. You know, I watched it. You know, it's funny. I watched it back to back with Snowpiercer. So I guess I was on a train kick. I had seen Snowpiercer before. I was just rewatching it, but that's just funny.
It's a solid good flick. It was a good choice on your part.
And I think there's a spinoff sequel now too, right?
There is a sequel. I don't remember what it's called, but there is a sequel. I can't quite. Gosh, I remember.
Oh, I know. It's a Peninsula. Is that what it's called?
That sounds about right.
I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, I know. I think that just came out this year, actually. You know, it's kind of funny when we're about ready to get all these year-end, you know, best of lists. This year's kind of hard to do that, since there really hasn't been a lot.
No, there hasn't. There has not.
I mean, I'm waiting to watch movies like Tenet. You know, I haven't seen Tenet yet. I really want to watch that. I think it's coming around. I think it's dropping next week on VOD.
I'm not particularly excited for Tenet. I still am not entirely sure what the fuck it's about.
I kind of like that, actually. I don't know. I'm a Christopher Nolan fan. I mean, all of us are, I guess, at this point. But I'm kind of curious about it. The trailers have looked cool. The reviews for it were pretty good, and they said it's kind of a, you know, a movie you'll want to rewatch too if you liked it. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Soul, the Pixar movie Soul, is coming out on Disney Plus on Christmas. Like Wonder Woman is coming out on HBO Max on Christmas.
I think my issue with Tenet is that Christopher Nolan is so insistent that this should be shown in theaters, regardless of the fact that there's a worldwide pandemic going on.
Did you see his response to HBO?
I did. Yeah. I did. And it only furthers my kind of opinion that he ain't shit.
Well, so a lot of people came out, and one of the reactions from that were, there was some negative reactions, and they said, well, you know, you mean we could argue that Tenet was what ruined theaters in the first place.
Yep. Because nobody should have been in there.
Nope.
Nobody should have been in the fucking theater.
You know, I mean, not only that, it was twofold. I mean, Tenet and Mulan, I think, are the movies that we're going to remember back and go, what happened?
Well, we're going to remember, why the fuck were they in theaters?
Well, I mean, so I'm looking right now. Tenet was made for $200 million. And it made
60 mil.
360.
You said 360?
360.
No, 60, 60.
I thought it was 60.
No, I'm looking right now. 360.
That's way more than I thought, because originally I thought it was 60, like Tone said.
But for a $200 million budget movie, that's not good.
Yeah, but, man, if you make your money back in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, shut the fuck up. Put that motherfucker on HBO Max and call it a goddamn day.
Hey, Mulan, $200 million budget, $70 million box office.
Yeah, that shit should have never been in the fucking box office. Who in their right mind is taking their goddamn family to the theater in the midst of a fucking pandemic? What is wrong with you? My bad, y'all. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go that hard.
Well, but keep in mind, Mulan, they did the straight to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why that failed. Well, yeah. And straight to Disney Plus for $30.
Yeah, after you already paying for Disney Plus every month.
That's egg on their face.
Yeah. But look, truth be told, if the model says that I need to pay $20 for a film to stay the fuck home and not go to the theater, I'll pay that shit. Straight up.
If it's a movie I want to see, I would do that. Yeah.
Look, I have gotten to the point now where I'm like, $6 to stay home, done. $10 to stay home, done. It's not even an issue. Not an issue.
Well, and Mulan, they announced when it came out. It came out, what, September? And then they were like, oh, in December it'll be free anyway.
Yep, which was a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
You shot yourself in the foot. It don't matter. But look, it's getting loud. The tone, super late where you are. You got to get up in the morning. You be getting up at like 5:15 and shit.
I do.
The wild chickens that be walking in the street be waking him up and shit. Fucking roosters come by his window, wake him up.
Wow. They my running partners. They be like, yo, Tone, come on. We got to run.
What time you get up tomorrow, man? You get 5:30?
I'm usually up about 5:30.
Why don't you take the morning off and wake up at 7 and get online then?
Well, there's money to be made. I can't do it.
See, money ain't everything, bro.
Whew. It is nice.
Yeah, he disciplined. He way more disciplined than I am. So.
Oh shit! I mean, I'll be up at. I mean, my alarm will go off at 7. Actually, I have to take the baby to Erica's mom. So I guess I will be up a little earlier than I.
Yeah, I won't. It's gonna be 8. Nah. It's gonna be 8 when I get up. I'm gonna roll up, get my kids up, get them dressed, make breakfast. They'll be logged onto their Zooms by 8:55.
Man, hey, well, man, that it must be nice.
Shit. Doing both of their schools at the same time, plus my own work. Ain't nothing nice about that shit.
Wednesday. Yeah, today. I was, you know, working with a baby crawling around in my car. I can't even remember the days, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
They run together.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Now, imagine you have to try and teach fucking multiples and all kinds of other shit.
I hear it on Zoom calls I'm on. I know.
This is, look, the greatest and the worst. And then soccer practice. Fuck out of here. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that.
Tone's like, let's hang this up. I got to go to bed.
Yeah, seriously. We get out the room. We appreciate y'all for listening. This has been episode 124. And we'll see y'all. Look. I would love to say that we'll see y'all again before 2020 is done.
But given how we do things and even for the show, I
don't know. Yeah. And unless motherfucking Wonder Woman 84 does some shit to us that just kind of motivates us, because it does come out on Christmas Day.
It does.
So maybe you'll see us for that. Maybe.
Maybe.
It'll more than likely be a footnote on the first episode of next
probably.
Year.
Probably. 2021. Probably. Ugh. Go see anything for Jackson. Shudder. What was that? $5 a month. Make that happen. Mando. Crazy. Best shit out. Marvel. Black Lives Matter. And, that's about it. For Tone, for Scott, man. I'm your host, Dave, and we'll catch y'all next time, man.
Peace.